the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And then here people hear about that. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. No, there isn't a separating point here in the psalm, but it moves now to different people speaking. So the same person speaks in verse 19. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So please keep that passage open. We'll think about it together. There's not many psalms are mentioned in the New Testament. Do anyone know how many psalms there are in the book of Psalms? 150, that's right, 150. So not many of them are mentioned. Psalm 118 is one that's mentioned a lot. The start of the psalm tells us what it's for. It tells us what it wants us to do. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. That's what it wants us to do. That's what it tells us to do. Thanks to the Lord. And it says, do that because God is good. How is God good? What is so good about him? How can we know that we should give thanks to him? Because things in our life are often not very good. So why should we be giving thanks to God? Well, the psalm is going to tell us. It's got this name, the Lord, in that first line. L-O-R-D in capitals is his Old Testament name. And in those first lines, all sorts of people say, L-O-R-D in capitals, the Lord's love endures forever. This is God's non-stop loyal care. This is not just loving feelings God has that might be different on a day when he's a bit tired or that might go away if he changes his mind. This is God being kind and reliable and truly caring for his people. That's the beginning of the psalm. That's the sort of introductory main message. And then we've got the introduction, then the main message here on the board. Thank the Lord, he saved the king. After those groups of people, like I said, we've got one person speaking now from verse 5, and we're finding out about what he says. Here he is. Sorry, this is us wondering, how can we thank God? How is he good all the time? This person tells us about being saved, about a rescue. Now, we hear all the time in the news, don't we, about rescues, people being saved. People in Indonesia are being rescued from what this week?
Fire.
Not a fire in Indonesia. What happened in Indonesia? There was an earthquake, and what are they being rescued from? From the buildings that have fallen down. So rescuers are trying to pull them out to make them safe. People in France and Spain and now England are being rescued from what?
Fire.
Fire, that's right. Yeah. So the rescuers come in their fire engine and try to keep people safe from the fires. We hear often, don't we, about people in the sea or in rivers being rescued so that they don't drown. in the psalm, we need to think, well, who was rescued and what was the danger they were rescued from? It tells us, verse 6, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Mere mortals is talking about human beings who will die. Verse 7, the Lord is with me, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. So the danger for this person is enemies, people who want to hurt them. They're not in danger from the fire or from the sea or from buildings falling down. They're in danger from people. But trusts God. Verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, the great leaders. But what had happened? Verse 10, all the nations surrounded me. All the nations surrounded me. So this is not just a story about an ordinary believer in God, just one of many of God's people, because all the nations wouldn't come and surround you or me. This is not someone having a bad week at work or an argument at home. All the nations want to get this person. This must be an important person. This is the leader. In fact, it's probably the king, which is why I put the king on the board there. All the nations want to get this king and get rid of that king so his nation isn't a problem for them. That's why they're trying to get him. Verse 11, they surrounded me on every side, coming from every direction. Verse 12, they swarmed around me like bees. What's it like when bees are around you?
Annoying.
Yeah, why is it annoying? Buzzing in your ears, and where do they go? They go right in front of your face, don't they? It's not a problem over there. It's right up here when there's bees buzzing around. And do you see how it was that he won? He hasn't said in this psalm, I'm a great fighter. He's not saying, celebrate with me my great victory, my triumph. Verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. Do you see how it's happened? It's the Lord has saved him. He had rescued him. And the danger wasn't falling buildings. The danger wasn't fire. The danger wasn't drowning in water. The danger was enemies. And the Lord saved him from enemies. And when they hear this, the other people who trust God celebrate. Verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound. Though you hear them in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. So we've got on the board here the message of the psalm. Thank the Lord. He saved his king. The king knows it's the Lord who saved him. And he says, verse 17, I will not die, but live. And verse 18, the Lord has chastened me severely, but has not given me over to death. There's a grave to make us think about the danger of death. And he's saying, I haven't died. The Lord hasn't let me be given over to death. This person who is, we think, the king of God's people has been saved. And the psalm says, thank the Lord, he saved his king. The next bit is when other people start to speak. So first the king says in verse 8:19, what does he ask in verse 19? I'll get you to read the Bible a bit for me. What's he asking them to do? Open the gates so that he can do what? So that he can come in. Saying, he's knocking on the door. And they say in the next verse, 20, this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. They say, come in, because he's the person who trusts in the Lord. And as the king arrives, the people sing blessing. Look further down to verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This person is coming knowing the Lord God. And on the top of the page, from the house of the Lord, we bless you. These people are already in God's house. What is God's house in the Old Testament? The temple. They're in the temple and they're sort of shouting from the temple, we bless you, as he comes. It's a big parade. It says, verse 27, the Lord is God and he has made his light shine on us with boughs in hand, join in the festal procession. If you do really well in something like a test at school, you might have a private fist bump for yourself. If you have a personal celebration like a birthday, the whole family might celebrate. But a festal event, a festival, is where everyone in the community celebrates. All the houses, all the families join in. Like Christmas is a big festival for Jesus' birthday. So these people, they sing, it says, they walk together. So if we had some people processing, they might have flags, mightn't they? So people on this side, a number of you will see under your chairs there's a flag. If you can reach a flag, do you mind lifting it up and waving it? People on the ends of the rows. That's it. If you can reach one. We've got a couple more. Terrific. Okay, but what they didn't have, you can pause your flags now. They didn't have flags. What does it say they had? Boughs. Yeah, it's a funny English word. A bow, I'll get you some. It's not bowing down. It's not written to say that, but a bow, it's a branch. You know, if you don't have a flag and you can't go to a shop to buy a flag because they don't sell flags, you go and get a branch of a tree and you'll wave one. So have we got a couple of young people? It seems half of them have gone. So can any young people come and help me do a short parade? So you're willing to come and help. Well done, Hope. Come here. Anyone else want to come and wave a bow and we will parade up to the front? We're only going to go a few steps. You want to come here? Hold one of these. Do you want to come here, Kai? Hold one of these. Yes, it shouldn't be sharp if you just hold the stem. Yeah. You got one? Anyone else want to come? No? Okay, so we are going to go. And those with flags, if you can wave your flags now. Susan, you'll have to grab Hope's and lift them up. Here we go. We are in a festal procession where we're going up, walking up the path together, waving our flags in a celebration. Wave them a bit, girls. Can you wave them? That's it. You're doing just the right thing. There you go. That's if you didn't have a flag, that's what you could use. And that's what they did for that special celebration. Thank you. Would you put them on the seat? Give them a round of applause, please. And they'll go back to their seat. Great. On the way, so he said, let me in. And they've said, this is the gate, come in. Up at the temple, people are saying, we bless you. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And they say, everyone, get a stick, wave a branch, and celebrate. But they say some strange words, verse 22. Stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's a word picture. You might remember if you were here a few weeks ago, this is used in the New Testament. These are builders. They're sorting through some stones to build the building with, and they throw one away. They reject it. It's no good. Don't want that one. But in the end, that stone becomes the cornerstone. Now, I don't know much about building, but what I've understood is the cornerstone, it says this is where the building is going to be. This is the corner of it, so the rest of the building's got to fit with this. And it says this is the shape the building's going to be. That's going to be one side and that's going to be another side because this is the corner shape. So it's the most important stone for the shape of the whole building. They'd rejected it. No good. But in the end, it becomes the main stone. Now, what's this word picture about? Just, you know, we've done our very short festal procession, waving our boughs in hands. And they were doing that going up to the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord. But they're not actually thinking about that building. They're not even thinking about the gate they went through. They're thinking about God saving his king from enemies all around. The enemies actually are the builders of God's house. They're supposed to make the Lord's house. They're supposed to help God's people live with him, but they rejected the main person. And now the Lord has made him the main way to living with God, which is why it says the second thing here, thank the Lord, he saves us together with the king. The Lord has saved the king, and now he saves us together with the king. Do we go on the next slide where we see from the book of Acts? Can it go on the next one? Thank you. Peter said, Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, but has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. So the builders are the leaders of God's people. Sorry, I don't know what I did then. This is the only one on, is it? The builders are the leaders of God's people. They rejected Jesus. They gathered around him as enemies and shouted at him. They were like bees buzzing in his face, upsetting him. They killed him on a cross. But how can Peter say this psalm is true about Jesus? Because this psalm says, in verse 17, I will not die, but live. And it says in verse 18, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death. But Jesus did die. So how is the psalm true about Jesus? Well, it's true because I've showed you this thing that many of you have seen before. How does this go? No, that's in the wrong place. Haha. Ruins the surprise. Here is Jesus going into this doorway that I've labelled death. But he doesn't stay there. Comes out the other side alive again. So though he died, God did give him over to stay dead. And it says, verse 23, the Lord has done this and it is marvellous in our eyes. Isn't it marvellous that God made Jesus alive again? Marvellous means stunning, spectacular, astonishing, wonderful. Isn't it? Stunning, spectacular, wonderful, astonishing that God has made Jesus alive. Thank the Lord, he saved his king. Thank the Lord, he saves us together with the king. It says in the psalm, in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It says in the very last verse, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks means say thank you to him. So say thank you when you talk to God, and say thank you when you sing to God. Give thanks means say thank you. But remember the question at the beginning, how can we say thank you to God when lots of life is not good? Well, the psalm has told us. His love endures. No matter how situations in our life change, no matter how much time has passed, how many bad things we have done, his love endures. He can be trusted. And the screen is going to change. Thank the Lord, he saved Jesus. Thank the Lord, he saves us together with Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord. Jesus is now like the stone in God's house that's the main stone. He's the main part of living with God. Because the house is where God lives with his people. Jesus is the main part of living with God. That's what it's saying. Last week, we put this picture up as to what happens to the enemies of Jesus. They will be like a footstool for Jesus. Don't be an enemy of Jesus. Don't be people who reject Jesus. You say, well, I want to be king of my life. I don't want Jesus to be king of my life. Let's be a church who celebrates that God made Jesus alive. And he is the main way, he is the heart of how we can now live with God. Let's thank God for that. I'm going to say a prayer. If you agree with the prayer, please join with the Amen. Heavenly Father, sorry, I'll let you pause for a moment to think. We're going to be thanking God that he saved Jesus from death, and he now saves us with Jesus. Heavenly Father, your love endures forever. It is reliable. It keeps going. Thank you that you loved Jesus. Thank you that you made him alive from the dead, and he cannot die again. Thank you for showing us that your son Jesus is the very center of how we have life with you. He is the only person who can make us live with you. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you that it is true, even on days when our lives are sad and we are disappointed, that you are still a good God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.